Move the chairs, because I knew if we left all the chairs up, some of you would sit in the back. And I think it's we know that at least about four of our families today who are traveling, and some are in San Diego, some are going to go look for the snow, and whatever. But we're glad that you are here. And I remember years ago, one time, in very early part of my ministry, I kind of really told the crowd that was there, I was scolding the people that didn't care to come. And we got in the car on the way home. My wife says, "Why are you scolding those people? They're the ones that cared enough to come. Don't talk about those that didn't care to come." So anyway, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And we're just going to have a little fun. I thought I might sit down, but I think I better stand up, because if I sit, I might get too informal and I might go to sleep. I go to sleep on my sermons, today, I'd like to do a little talking with you. Just rather than just preach, I'd like to talk to you about several things. And as we think about this theme of Christmas, both today and next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about Mary. In the Protestant tradition, we have never given Mary a very high exalted position. While in the Catholic tradition, they have really exalted Mary. They say the prayer, the Hail Mary. They believe that Mary ascended just as Christ ascended into heaven. And they've given her a very high exalted position. So sometimes I think as Protestants, we have stepped back because we've seen what they have done, and we say, "Oh, we're not really sure we agree with that." And we have really not given her the position that she rightly deserves. And I think Mary it was exceptional. I think Mary was Yuski's age. I think she was a young girl. I don't believe she was even out of her teens yet. I believe that she was there. And I'd like for you to just think for a minute what it must have been like for her. Who knows what she was doing? Combing her hair, putting on her makeup, maybe still in her jammies. Who knows? But all of a sudden, this angel comes in the room. Have any of you seen an angel? Yeah, well, not we know of. The Bible says we've all seen angels that we were not aware of at the time. All right, you'll have to tell us about it sometime. So anyway, here she is. And this angel comes to her and says, "Good morning, Mary." Not quite like that, but "Greetings to you. And guess what? You found favor with God." And she's probably thinking, "Who is this man? Do I scream? Do I yell? What do I do?" You really put yourself into that. How would you feel if all of a sudden you're getting dressed in the morning and a man appears in your room? "Good morning, Carol." "Good morning, Carol. You are favored with God." You say, "Sure, but get out of my room," right? Is that what you'd say? That's kind of the way I think we'd all feel. Even guys, if somebody appears in your room, you think about it. It's kind of a spooky thing, but here she was, and she was chosen by God, and she was chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah. And that's what she. So she decides nobody will understand. Imagine, Zephon, your daughter coming to you and says, "Mom, I'm pregnant. But Mom, I've never slept with a guy." And you say, "Sure." "I understand that." "No, you don't understand it. You what have you been taking? Any opiates or what are you doing here, Yeah. And then there was her fiance, the man to whom she was betrothed. In those days, when you were engaged to somebody or betrothed to marry them, that was a really a solid contract, and it was punishable by death if you broke it. And if a woman were to be found to have cheated, to have had premarital sex with somebody other, even they didn't, that was a thing in those days, they didn't even talk about that much. But imagine her telling Joseph, "Well, Joseph, I have to tell you something. What do you have to tell me?" And she says, "Well, I'm pregnant." You're a young guy. Imagine how you would feel if all of a sudden your fiance, that you've kept yourself, you've saved yourself to that very time when you get married, and And you think that your bride-to-be has saved herself, and all of a sudden she comes and says, I'm pregnant. It'd be a real downer, more than a downer, would it not? You know, and so it said he really thought maybe he should put her away. I mean, he entertains some real thought. So Mary decides she needs to get out of town. She wasn't running out of town just to get out of town and escape the people. She needed to go talk to somebody that she could really trust. So she goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin. Now, you know the story about Elizabeth and her husband and how that she miraculously conceived as well. And so she decides that she's going to go and visit her cousin and talk. And little did she... Was she at all prepared for the greeting that she was going to receive? She probably thought that Elizabeth would come and, oh, you poor dear, and put her arm around her, and I'm so sorry, now tell me what happened. And sure, I understand. But the minute that she got there, the one who was carrying John the Baptist in her womb, she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child. What an honor it is to have the mother of my Lord come to see me. I think Mary was, it was quite a greeting. And as soon as the greeting reached my ears, the child within me jumped for joy. Oh, how happy is the woman who believes in God, for he does make his promises to her come true. Think about that. Here she is, this troubled teenage girl, and she's had all of this happen to her, and she obviously was a very righteous girl. She obviously very special that she was chosen by God. And she obviously was one who really was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. She obviously was very blessed of God. At the same time, this was a shock. It was a shock to her that all of a sudden she's told. And she did not understand that scripture of the Old Testament, behold, a virgin will conceive. She didn't understand that at all. And so here she is. She goes to visit her cousin, and her cousin, instead of giving her the normal greeting and the big hug and, oh, my dear, I'm so sorry, or I feel so, you know, whatever, she starts to sing praises to her. You know, blessed are you among all the women. You are so, it is so amazing that God chose you. God chose you. And it's so wonderful that you would come and visit me. So then we have the first Christmas song that's ever been sung. It's called Mary's Song, and Mary sang what is called the Magnificat. She starts to sing, my heart is overflowing with praise of my Lord. My soul is full of joy, God my Savior. Now you see what this young girl is experiencing. For he is designed to notice me, his humble servant, and after this, all the people, whoever shall be, will call me the happiest or the blessed of all women. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. Oh, holy is his name. A great song. What a great song that she sang. All she did is really just praising the Lord. The fear was gone, and she's just praising God that she has been chosen. And it was, you know, she's thinking, here she was a nobody, and God chose her. And you know, there used to be an old popular song that says you're nobody till somebody loves you. But you know, all of us are nobodies in some ways. But it's God who makes us somebodies. It's God who looks down at us and says, you are special. You are so special that I'm sending my son. And Mary was just a common, ordinary girl. You know, she was not raised in some isolated setting that we know. She was raised in probably a typical Jewish home. She probably maybe went to Jewish school where they talked a little bit about the coming of the Messiah. But she was just a common, ordinary girl. And she was just a young teenager who was willing now to believe God that God can do the impossible. She says, I know all things are possible. She didn't sit at home and utter pity pot and think, oh, everything's falling apart. What's Joseph going to say? What are my parents going to say? What are all the neighborhoods going to say? She merely surrenders to the will of God. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. You know, when we are willing to surrender our hearts and our lives to God and give him our lives, God can work miracles. God can take those of us who may consider ourselves just a common, ordinary nobody, and he can make something out of us. And he'll put a song in our heart. That's it. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we read this story and we hear it every year and we've heard it all our lives, and yet every time we hear it, we marvel. We marvel at the response of this young girl to your angel who appeared to her and told her how special she was and that she had been chosen by God to give birth to your son. And Lord, we thank you for this story. We thank you for sending your son to us through just common, ordinary means. He came and was born in a very simple stable, placed in a manger, not in a grand hospital or in a luxurious hotel. He came to a very humble girl, came in very humble settings, and lived his life among us so that we could know life. And we thank you for that, and praise you for that, and thank you for your incredible love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name.